Also be having some vegan dinner afterwards, so don't worry if you're feeling peckish. You don't have to wait too long. Right, thank you.
Obviously, to come to an event like this, you have some concerns about how to go deeper. You see, shallow living is the name of the game these days. You may have noticed as you go about your life, work, study, relationships, entertainment, diversion, you may have noticed that there's not much incentive for trying to get to the core of existence, the essence of existence. In fact, society seems to encourage and even reward you for just living on the surface. Don't think too much, don't think too deeply, otherwise life may pass you by. While we're busy asking questions, those who do that, while someone is busy trying to sort it all out, trying to make it real compared to what? While we're trying to do that, we have a fear. Everyone else is having fun. They're not worried about what is their identity. Where do they come from? What is their destination? They're just living in the moment. Isn't that what it's all about? Just like be one with the music of the moment. Just go with the flow, no matter where the flow is going. Let the universe take you on its ride. Trust in life. Whatever happens, happens. Simply make sure that you get as much momentary fulfillment for yourself as possible. Well, not only for yourself, but also for your friends of the moment, relationships of the moment. See, everything is for the moment. You may have noticed that there's no criticism of a lifestyle that has no grand goal. In fact, people will glorify a goalless life. Why should life have a goal? It's all about just feeling the dynamics of the present. You're born from the great silence. And when you die, you go back into the great silence. Beyond that, who can say? And why should we say? Maybe we don't require any answers. Maybe there's just an endless series of questions. That could be it. That could be what it's all about. Just questions after questions after questions. While you're trying to get all that you can in the moment. Saturday I was speaking in Mumbai, India. And yesterday I was speaking in Watford, outside of London. And I brought up what many consider to be a sacred principle of living, a way to judge and rate your pleasure-seeking activity. How do you know whether to give your pleasure pursuits a 5-star rating, 4-star, 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star, thumbs up, thumbs down. How do you know? Think about this. Supposedly, the test of true enjoyment is the remembrance that it leaves behind. What do you think? Sounds good. Yeah. If you've got some memories to savor, then your life is successful. The test of true enjoyment is the remembrance that it leaves behind. What do you think? Yes, we can say. As we age, as we near our last years in this world, whenever they may come, we want to be able to look back and harvest some memories. Do you remember 20 years ago when, on that night in the summer? That was a good time, wasn't it? Then your life is considered to be successful because we have a few precious memories. Now, on surface value, and remember, everything today is practically all about surface value. A consumer society does not encourage you to go deeper. It encourages you to simply think about your body, your senses, your unfulfilled desires. And a consumer society seeks to convince you that everyone else is fulfilling those desires. What's wrong with you? Everyone else is getting the happiness. Where have you been? It's happening all around you. Sensual fulfillment. Material happiness. But you are not getting your share. Everyone's entitled to their share. It's out there. Why aren't you getting it? The test of true enjoyment is the remembrance that it leaves behind. If we go deeper, and to go deeper means you're going to have to rebel just a little bit against the mass consensual trance, mass illusion. Countless persons agree, let's live on the surface. Regardless of our political theories, our economic theories, our religious theories, let's live on the surface as the general principle shaping our daily life. Because of that mass blanket of illusion, it's very easy to accept a statement like, the test of true enjoyment is the remembrance it leaves behind. But I know that at least those here in this audience want to go deeper. So naturally, you'll question, okay, it's very nice to have those memories, but where did the enjoyment go? It's like a burglar breaks into your house and takes everything, but you're satisfied that you caught the footprints of the burglar. What kind of police work is that? Want to catch the burglar? No, but the footprints the burglar left behind, we have those. Similarly, the memories that the momentary happiness left behind, we have those. Just see how our standard has unconsciously sunk so low. What the yoga texts and particularly the bhakti yoga texts, the yoga of connection to the Love Supreme, what they tell us is that true enjoyment does not come and go. True enjoyment is the natural characteristic of the spirit self in connection with the Supreme Self. The part in connection with the complete whole. We want to be holistic, yes. But how can we be truly holistic without knowledge of that complete whole? Where do we get that kind of knowledge? Lacking the proper information, human beings simply endeavor on the surface through politics, economics, religious theology. But where do we get definitive knowledge of us as tiny particles of spiritual consciousness? Where do we get definitive knowledge of the supreme consciousness of what we're, of which we're a part? Just like sparks are part of the fire. They're not the complete blaze, but they are parts of the blaze. Where do we get that kind of knowledge? Well, please consider how we can become so misled. As long as I've had some happy moments, and not only for me, but of course for my friends of the moment and for my relationships of the moment, isn't that enough? And then often people make the point that you need bad times, you need pain, you need suffering to help you appreciate the good times. So we have all these self-deluding notions. I don't mind that the enjoyment has gone as long as I have the memories. If I have a strong memory of non-existing enjoyment, then that's good. We tranquilize ourselves with these delusions in a nice way. We want to give pleasure to ourselves, we want to give pleasure to others. But what the yoga text, particularly Bhagavad Gita, the prime yoga text, points out is that real happiness is not on the level of the body and mind. Real happiness is on the level of our spiritual self, known in Sanskrit as the Atma, particle of spiritual consciousness, the I am beyond the body and mind. Real happiness is in the connection between the tiny I am and the supreme I am. It's easy to explain in Sanskrit. There is the Atma, that tiny particle of spiritual consciousness that is the identity of each one of us. And then there's Paramatma, the supreme Atma, the supreme consciousness. The challenge of the yoga text is, how can we be happy without connection to that supreme consciousness? Someone might say, well, there very well may be the supreme consciousness, the ultimate source, but we don't know it. And who actually knows? Here we come to the essence of our current problems, a lack of understanding the purpose of the human body. The ancient Vedic texts associated with India very clearly explain that the prime purpose of the human body is not economic activities, political activities, sensual activities, entertainment, diversion, sports. No, the prime purpose of the human body is enlightenment, self-realization. All else is secondary and tertiary. Once we understand what the goal of human civilization is, then everything becomes clear. Otherwise, what are our choices? To just be busy, 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 and never leave ourselves time to think? Or else, to keep our intelligence preoccupied with so many unimportant things. And that way we actually squander the great wealth of the human body. What we are facing today in human society is a crisis in terms of what is the point. Maybe sometimes some of you have wondered, what's the point? Why struggle so much? Why toil so hard? Yes, bills have to be paid, but still, what's the point of this whole race? But then you can't drop out. You can't drop out of the race because everyone will look at you like you're crazy. And not only can you not drop out of the race for that reason, because of social pressure, but also fear. If I slow down in the race, I could stumble, fall, and be trampled by the crowd. So there's pressure, and there is fear. All because we lack the knowledge that will make us strong. The foundation of the genuine yoga system is knowledge. And that knowledge brings about the erasing of illusion. One prime illusion is to see all living entities as different because their bodies are different. Krishna talks about this in Bhagavad Gita. He explains that a truly intelligent, wise person sees all living entities as equal, regardless of the type of body they have. Whether it's an animal body, a human body. Different dresses that are covering the spiritual self that's there in all living things. Plants, animals, human beings, insects. The coverings differ. Just like your clothes are all different. I don't see anyone in this room wearing the same thing. Your clothes are certainly different from hers. Right? But you would immediately say, but we're both human beings. I don't know. Maybe you're from the same country. Even though your externals are different, you feel some kind of oneness. But there's so many other human beings who are born in different circumstances, have different bodies. And then what about the non-human species, the animals, the insects, the birds, the trees? How do we actually see everyone as equal? It can't be material equality. Even in this room, the bodies here have different strengths, different intellectual capacities, different levels of beauty, no matter how subjectively judged. So you can't establish equality materially. Some bodies are weak, some bodies are strong. Some bodies are very shrewd, other bodies are not so intellectually swift. Some bodies are healthy, some are diseased. We'll never be able to establish equality even among human beings on the material plane. And we certainly cannot establish equality based on the body for all living entities. But spiritually, we can do that. And this is Krishna's proposal in Bhagavad Gita. How to be a genuinely wise person. You'll see all living entities as equal, not because of the body, but because of their spiritual identity. Those who saw the film Unity at the event held here last month or so, no doubt you felt compassion for the suffering of the slaughtered animals. Someone will easily argue, maybe no one here, but someone may argue, the animals, they may have some awareness, but they're dumb. Because they're dumb, they're meant for our exploitation. But just think about little infants. You know, there's not much difference between a little infant and a little cub or a little lamb or a little calf. Little human infants lack judgment, discrimination. Their intelligence hasn't developed yet. Would you eat them? Of course not. Barbaric. Yet, human society is slaughtering millions upon millions of animals because they're not intelligent, they're dumb. Yet, those same human beings will not slaughter their infants, even though there's not much difference in the operating intelligence of the infant and the animal. So the yogis know that this totally unnecessary slaughter of animals bounces back on human society as bad karma. What goes around comes around. Nature has to balance. If the human beings are slaughtering countless animals unnecessarily because that slaughter is not necessary for human sustenance. In fact, slaughtering and eating animals has been shown again and again to be bad for your health. Nevertheless, the human beings are doing this, even to the extent that such a major contributor to global warming is the livestock industry. Not vehicles and other forms of transportation. This shows you how human beings are not serious about environmental protection. If they were, they would stop the livestock industry, which is by far a more significant contributor to global warming than the transportation industry. We must get reactions for the violence that we perpetrate on other species of life. There are 16,000 nuclear weapons in the world. Are they there to maintain peace? We've all been convinced of that. By having these weapons, things will be peaceful. such horrendous weapons, capable of such destruction never before seen. And yet we think the purpose is peace. Just like, for example, the land of my birth has just embarked upon. It's still in the proposal stage, but in the USA, the military always gets its way. A 30-year program to upgrade the nuclear arsenal costing $1 trillion. $1 trillion for a 30-year program to upgrade the nuclear arsenal. All for the sake of protecting world peace. All for protecting, as they say, truth, justice, and the American way of life. All for maintaining and spreading the American dream. One comedian pointed out, why do they call it the American dream? Because you have to be asleep to believe it. It's always good to talk about another country. We know everything is different here. So we have accepted so many illusions while being so preoccupied with our own sense gratification, entertainment, our own physical and mental fulfillment. We've swallowed so many illusions. Yes, the 16,000 nuclear weapons in the world, they're all for peace. They're enhancing peace. They're maintaining peace. In 10 years, do you know who the number three nuclear power in the world will be? It's not the UK. It's not France. It's Pakistan. You think you don't trust the US or Russia? Do you trust nuclear weapons in Pakistan? This is the world that we're living in and accepting as normal. All because people, human beings, have lost the ability to think deeply. Once we throw off the responsibility to understand, what am I? Am I the body? Am I the mind? Or am I something beyond material? When we throw off that responsibility for understanding this, then we're easily swept away in mass illusions. That's why I use the term mass consensual trance. Let's all sleepwalk together and have the dream. Whether it's the American dream, the British dream, this dream, that dream, everyone. And I've traveled on every continent of the world thoroughly for over 40 years. Everyone is dreaming. Everyone is hallucinating. And now human beings have become the first species to destroy its own habitat. All in the name of progress. So you're living in very interesting times. That's an old Chinese saying. Many people thought it was a blessing, but actually it's a curse. May you live in interesting times. The millennials, those who have entered their young adult life at the turn of the century, they're inheriting a world that is saturated to the max with problems. Those in their 20s, early 30s, will have to deal with problems that you find no precedent in recorded history. Rising sea levels, global warming, disappearance of fresh water, Did you know that by the year 2050, if human society continues as it is now, by 2050, in the oceans will be more plastic than fish, as measured by weight. All this is called progress. Materially, we cannot solve this. The problem is misidentifying the body and mind as the self, forgetting our spiritual identity. And that means forgetting the supreme identity that we're all part of. Both go together, the part and the whole. Yes, it's very good to have knowledge of our individual spiritual identity. That's a great step forward. But our quest cannot end there, because we're not the everything. Materially, we're not the everything. Spiritually, we're not the everything. We're part of the Supreme. That is Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains, all you living entities, Krishna says, are. You all are my eternal parts. But we've forgotten this, and we're struggling in the oppressive material atmosphere. Why is it an oppressive material atmosphere? Because we toil, we labor, we struggle so much just to get some fleeting, temporary enjoyment that will give us memories. It was all worthwhile. I remember. You all have the capacity. We all have the capacity to go much deeper. And we must do that for the sake of rescuing our own life, the life of our friends and relations, and all of human society. We need to establish clearly what is the goal of human life. Merely to absorb ourselves in economic activity is no symptom of real intelligence. If you know anything about beehives, ant colonies, they're much more organized. With such efficiency that a human society can't compete. Our job as human beings is something else, to become enlightened, to become self-realized, to become genuine yogis. That doesn't mean to go live in a cave or on top of the Himalayas. No, a genuine yogi means to understand what is material, what is spiritual, and the source of both. That ultimate source. Connecting with the ultimate source. That is our real quest in life. When we say Krishna, we are referring to the ultimate source of all pleasure. We're all pleasure seeking. We're looking for it here, there, everywhere. We can't stop looking for pleasure. But why not? Through genuine bhakti yoga practice, connect with the ultimate source of pleasure. The unlimitedly attractive source of all pleasure. That is the real goal of yoga. Not that we waste our life trying to squeeze pleasure out of temporary matter. We'll never be happy in that way. So this human form of life is a great opportunity. If we waste it, then it's a great tragedy. We don't know what our next birth will be, what kind of body we'll have next. Often people say, hey, whatever happens will happen. No one knows. But how do we know that no one knows? The comprehensive spiritual knowledge does exist. We can understand our changing from one body to another. We can understand what is genuine pleasure. We can understand the ultimate source. All that knowledge exists. The knowledge exists as well as the processes for verifying that knowledge. We're not talking about blind faith. We're talking about lifestyle engineering so that we can actually experience the non-material reality and its source. This is the education that Krishna is giving in Bhagavad Gita. So we invite you. Let's go deeper. Let's not just live on the surface, even though society will encourage you and support you in that way. Don't expect to receive in the post a letter from the government or receive in your inbox an email from the government saying, "We've heard that you, one of our citizens, has embarked upon the quest for enlightenment. As your government, we're here to let you know we completely support you." Don't wait around for such letters. Yet, those who want to embark upon the journey of self-discovery need support. So we need to seek out a support group. Support for those who want to go beyond the temporary so-called pleasures that come and go so quickly. A support group for those who want to go beyond the body and mind. This is the kind of education and lifestyle that Krishna speaks of in the prime yoga text, Bhagavad Gita. And we invite you all to take up the real purpose of human life. Be the change that can influence others. Religious theories, political theories, economic theories won't help. We need a clear understanding of what is our identity, what is supreme identity, and the relationship between the two. Then our life can begin to be truly successful. So I'll stop here. Maybe someone has questions? Maybe some points I could make more clearly?
Learning about it all, but I read something that when you sort of like I am you and you are me, like you, I see me and you, and you see, well, I don't know if you do, but you see you and me. And
okay, what's the difference between you and I?
But yeah, that's what I'm getting at. But I was kind of confused because I started reading this and thinking about this. It was around the time the Paris attacks happened. And I just kind of, it was actually on the same day, and I was watching the news and I kind of thought, but I don't want to see myself in the people who can have the capability to do that. So I was trying to like connect with my dog, connect with like things.
It's very good, but how wide can that attempt be?
But what if you don't want to see yourself and feel akin to someone who has a capability of doing something really, really bad, like absorbing that.
Understand that for persons to do such horrible things, like terrorism or animal slaughter, they have to be ignorant, lacking knowledge. Having genuine knowledge is what can separate the proper human being from the badly orientated human being. There's knowledge and then the application of that knowledge. Genuine knowledge, as I explained, shows you the connection between all living entities. So there are terrorists making horrible things, and then there are also the everyday terrorist exploiting other animals and unnecessarily killing them, even though it's not needed for health. In fact, it's bad for health. So these terrorisms, as ordinarily known, you can see them as reactions to human society for mass slaughter of countless animals. You can see on television, on the news, the horrible acts of terrorists. But will you see on the news what goes on inside a slaughterhouse? So we have to see the whole picture. You were saying, well, I am you and you are I. Yes, we are similar in that we are all coming from the same source. Certainly, your body and mind is different from my body and mind.
Is it like rain? Like every raindrop is different and goes on a different path that comes from the same.
But we have to find the ultimate source, and then we can see the unity. What is that ultimate source from which everything is coming from? And what is our duty to that ultimate source? What's the relationship with that ultimate source? That is the quest of the yoga system. Very good question. Any others? You're living in interesting times because some human beings are starting to realize material solutions cannot suffice. They can't get the job done on their own. Human beings have to go to a deeper level. Like Albert Einstein said, a problem is never actually solved on the same level that it originated. Material problems can't be solved on the material level. We have to go above them to a higher level. So that is the real purpose of the yoga and meditation systems. How to understand that ultimate source, that ultimate connection. That we're all part of, that we're all related to. Missing that ultimate connection, we're just disconnected like orphans. Connected to that ultimate source, connected to Krishna, the source of all pleasure. Then we thrive, regardless of our material differences, which will always be there. Materially, you and I are different. Our gender is different, our nationality is different, our age is different, most likely our habits are very different, our education may be different, but we are the same in terms of both being spiritual entities, part of the supreme spiritual entity. Materially, we can never be equal or the same. But spiritually, we can be equal. So that's the vision of the genuine yogi. So what I'm trying to explain tonight is that the genuine yogi is not someone who lives in the cave or in the Himalayas. The genuine yogi can live in Cardiff, London, New York, where I was born. The genuine yogi can have a job, have a family, but he or she knows what is the real purpose of human life and lives in such a way that that ultimate purpose is front and center, the defining reality of their life. Please think deeply about this. What is the real mission of the human form of life? And then what is our individual mission? Is it simply to have memories of forgotten pleasures? Or pleasures that have been long gone, but the memory is still there? Question everything. From why 16,000 nuclear weapons in the world, to why the animal slaughter, to why can I go another day without understanding what I am? Am I this body? Am I this mind? Or am I something different? What is the ultimate source from which all energies come? And what is my duty to that source? What's the nature of the relationship with that ultimate source? I'm looking for pleasure, I'm looking for love. But why don't I look for that in the ultimate source? Krishna in Bhagavad Gita invites you to connect with that ultimate source. Krishna means the unlimitedly attractive source of pleasure, not the material pleasure that comes and goes so quickly, but the eternal pleasure of the soul's relationship with the Supreme Soul, the Love Supreme. There is the real solution to humanity's problems. All right, no other questions? Thank you for listening so attentively. Shall we do a little kirtan? Kirtan is an essential part of a genuine yoga and meditation system. Kirtan means we're all connecting to spiritual sound, and through that sound, we're present with the ultimate reality. We're present with Krishna. The basis of the yoga system is actually not physical asanas or physical postures. The basis is spiritual sound, non-material sound. We ask you all to just participate. It won't do any harm, and it'll do the greatest good. Do we have any? It's a very simple process. This is mantra meditation. Mantra means a particular sound, not any sound, but a particular authorized sound, authorized in the yoga text, for rescuing your mind from illusion. And remember, the prime illusion is thinking, I am material. I'm a product of material nature. I'm the body, I'm the mind. How to rescue your mind from those hallucinations. That is the particular preliminary purpose of the mantra. Ultimately, in case you're interested, once you come out of illusion, the mantra connects you with that ultimate source, connects you with Krishna. Three simple words, Hare, Krishna, and Rama, all referring to the Supreme and the energies of the Supreme. I'll sing a very simple melody, very simple tune. It's call and response. So I'll sing the whole mantra first. And then, those of you in the audience who know it, or those who would like to know it, you can respond. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.